Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to thee. Thy devoted servant, make me only thine to be. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender.
Good job. Thank you. James chapter 5 tonight, if you would please. James chapter 5. Ladies group is going to practice upstairs right after service. James 5. I'll try to remind you that again. James 5. Well, we're three messages into prayer on Sunday nights so far, if you've been here. First night, we talked about the sin of prayerlessness, and I made the statement then, and I still believe it to be true, that the lack of prayer or prayerlessness is probably the most unconfessed, uncorrected sin in the life of far too many of God's people. Hopefully we're changing that, but I believe it to be the case. Second, Sunday night, we looked at the answer to prayerlessness. I think there is an answer to that, and we need to find the answer to prayerlessness in our life. And then last Sunday night, we talked about the necessity of the Holy Spirit in prayer, because the Holy Spirit of God plays an active part in our prayer life, which is a great blessing, and we talked about that. And now tonight, we're going to roll out the actual direction for the year, and we're going to talk tonight about discovering the power of prayer. And I'll say a little bit more about our theme when we get into the book. You can see the theme on the wall and the big one in the back, conversing with God. Discovering the power of effectual fervent prayer. And tonight we're going to kind of roll that out and introduce it and talk a little bit about exactly what that means as we get into the message this evening. James 5:16 is going to be our theme verse for the year to go along with that, or the latter part of the verse. So in James 5, we'll see that in just a moment. Now, if you've been saved for a while and you have an active prayer life and you do pray and seek God's direction and leadership and take your needs before Him, then I'm sure that you could give a testimony about the fact that God has answered prayer in your life. I mean, if you're saved tonight, I'm sure every one of us who have been saved any length of time could say, you know what, there was this thing going on, I prayed and God answered, I've seen answer to prayer. I believe tonight God answers prayer, don't you? And I'm sure that most of us could give a testimony to the fact that we've witnessed that, experienced it in our own life. We haven't just seen it in the lives of others, we've seen it in our life. Then if you're saved and active in prayer, you may also be able to give a testimony about something else, not just answer to prayer, but you might also be able to give a testimony of an answer to prayer that was truly a demonstration of the power of God in prayer, truly a demonstration of the power that's available through prayer. You know, there's times, many times when God answers prayer in our life and we step back and say, well, praise the Lord, that was an answer to prayer right there. And then there are some times in our life where we pray and God answers prayer And as a result of that answer, we step back and we're amazed at the power of God in association with prayer. Because sometimes there's just things that only God can do through prayer. And those times are some of the most amazing times in life. I'm thankful to God for every answer to prayer. But I sure remember those times when, God, you know, there's prayers in my life God's answered I don't remember, to my shame. But there are times and prayers that God has answered in my life that I look back and I still remember and say, man alive, there's nothing, no way to explain that except God did that through prayer and His power. You know, we often hear the slogan or sometimes use the slogan, prayer changes things. You see that on bumper stickers and all over the place, prayer changes things. And I certainly do believe that we can find the power to change things through prayer. I don't have any doubt about that. But that statement is a little simplistic. And it's a little more, not complicated, but there's a little more to it than just saying prayer changes things. And I do believe that we can certainly discover the power to change things through prayer. So we're going to kind of talk about again this evening, discovering power through prayer. But in James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now we're going to come back in another message and deal with all of that. But it says in verse 16, confess your faults one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And here's our theme, or part of the verse tonight, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessing on our time this evening and ask that God give us a good time around His Word. And so it's going to probably kind of be our habit on Sunday night, since we're talking about prayer, to kneel and just take a few minutes in prayer. So let's do that if you're able to kneel. If you can't, that's fine. But we're just going to give you a minute or two. I won't have long. Just kind of focus and ask God to speak to our hearts tonight about prayer. And then I'll close us the prayer time in a moment. We'll get into the message here in just a second. Father, as we come to you tonight, as we've said several times in the messages already, there's nothing more spiritual that we do than talk to you. There should be nothing in our life, really, in our saved life tonight, that we'd appreciate more than the opportunity to be able to talk to you, the blessing to be able to talk to you, the duty to speak to our God. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to learn more this year about how to do that and how to go about doing that. We should be good at talking to our God and understand how to do that. And so I pray tonight that you'd help us with that. Help us as we look at this theme of discovering what's available to us through prayer. I really do believe that many times we live powerless lives and we suffer needs needlessly because we don't take advantage of the power that's available to us through prayer. And so my hope is tonight, as I have no doubt you laid this theme on my heart, probably more so than anything we've had in the last couple of years. And so I just pray that you'd help us all to get a burden for that, a vision for it, that if there's some among us whose prayer life still is not what it should be, they're still in the midst of prayerlessness, that they would get on fire about this need to pray. Those who are already busy in prayer, that you'd help make us better at it, better at conversing with you, more aware of the blessing it is to do so, more aware of the power that's available to us. And so we just pray that you help us with these things. We're so thankful that you hear our prayers by your grace and mercy. As we've already seen, we certainly pray through importunity, coming shamelessly before you who have no right to expect anything. But we're thankful the right to do so was purchased through the blood of Christ, and we come boldly before you. And so I pray that if we take advantage of anything in our saved life, it might be this thing of prayer. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand or sit. Be seated. I guess you're already kneeling, aren't you? You can be seated if you will. We're just going to go right to work in verse 16. As we talk about this thing of discovering the power of prayer. And in verse 16, there's a lot going on in the verses before and after this concerning prayer. And as I said, we're going to come back in the later verse and talk about all this healing the sick and so forth and discuss that in context. But in verse 16, James does lay down, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a principle concerning prayer. And that principle is the theme that we're using for our verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in our verse, James lays out an important principle or truth about prayer, and that is the sheer power that is available to us through prayer. Now listen, we're not charismatics tonight, say amen, so we don't believe some of the wacky stuff that the name it and claim it crowd believes, and I don't believe, you know, that if you just pray, you will always be healthy, you'll never be sick, you'll always have money, you'll always be wealthy. We know that's not true because prayer works in conjunction with God's will, and it's not God's will that we always be those things. But we do know this much, that James is clear that there is tremendous power available to the child of God through prayer. And so I don't have to keep saying it over and over. That power works in conjunction with the will of God, but yet at the same time, power is available to us. You know, and I think tonight, now if I were to say, and don't raise your hand, but if I were to say, how many of you tonight believe that there's tremendous power available to us through prayer? Well, I'm sure every hand would go up. I don't have any doubt about it. But I do believe tonight that if we truly understood better, or better understood, or maybe better appreciated the power that's connected to prayer to the simple child of God. And we are the simple child of God, if you're saved. If we would just better understood the power that's available through prayer to the simple child of God, we would have to pray more. I mean, we would just have to. You know, and we say, well, I believe there's power in prayer. I understand that. But those two, that statement in conjunction with the prayerlessness that's prevalent in so many people's lives are incongruent. It doesn't make any sense. If we really believed the power, the awesome power that's available to the child of God through prayer, we would have to pray more. It's just hard to imagine that if we can only see that and trust in the power that's available to us through prayer, how we could not pray more. It's just hard to think how that could be possible in our life. Now, James expresses this power, the power that's associated with prayer. He expresses it in one word at the end of verse 16, and that is the word availeth. He uses the word availeth in connection with this idea of the power of prayer. Now, a lot of people don't use the word availeth very much, but it is an important word. And the literal definition of the Greek word from which we get the word availeth means strong in body, to be physically strong, to be of great stature or of great physical strength. In English, we most often use it, those handful of people among us who use it, maybe the English, we most often use it to mean to have an advantage or to use something to our advantage. But in English, the word also means to have force or to have power. So the words connected have force or power. The literal definition is to use the power or force that's available to us to our advantage. And so the word speaks of power. Are you with me? It speaks of strength. It speaks of force that's available to us. Over in Acts chapter 19, hold on to James and look over there if you will. In Acts 19, we find the same word coming up again. It's a different English word, but the same word from which we get availeth. In Acts chapter 19, it's a different word, English word, but in Acts 19 and verse 20, Acts 19 and verse 20, this is after the incident with Demetrius the silversmith, and it says in verse 20 of Acts 19, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word prevailed is the same word that shows up as availeth in our text. So you get the idea, it prevails, power, strength. In this case, it's not prayer that's being talked about, but it's talking about the Word of God, that the Word of God has force, that it has power, that it has strength, so much so that it prevailed over those people. You understand that tonight, because if you're saved, at some point, the Word of God prevailed in your life and prevailed over you. It helped overcome that sinful nature in you, that pride and arrogance that caused you to finally bend your knee and accept Jesus as your Savior. It prevailed in your life. And we all understand tonight that the Word of God has power and force and strength. And against the same word that's used in our other text. As a matter of fact, if you look in, and if you're still in Acts 19, if you look at the couple of verses previous to it, you see that prevailing, that power. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the power of God, or the prevailing power of God. And so it influenced them to change their life, to throw away their idols and to get rid of their witchcraft and other things and begin to serve the living God, because it prevailed in their life. Jesus also referenced the power of God, or the power of prayer, back over in Matthew 17. Turn over there if you will. Matthew 17, Jesus spoke of the prevailing power, the force of prayer, the power of prayer, or the power that's associated with prayer. Matthew chapter 17, it's where we took one of our first messages, Matthew 17 and verse 19. This is where the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast the demon out of this boy? In verse 20, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. And if you remember, if you're here with those messages, we said that unbelief wasn't their belief in the ability to pass out the demon or cast out the demon. It was in the power of prayer that their unbelief rested. And Jesus went on in verse 21 to talk about this prevailing, this availing, the power of prayer in verse 21 when he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And you know what that verse means. We talked about it. It means that there are some things that we encounter in life, circumstances, trials, difficulties, whatever it may be, that we do not have the power to deal with. We need a power greater than ourselves. And Jesus referenced the fact that prayer has force, that it has power, that there's power connected or associated with prayer, power that's beyond us, prayer, or power that's beyond our ability. Now again, you're all looking at me like, I know that, I understand it. I know that you know that, and I know that we don't understand it. Because if we understood it, we would pray more. If we really conceived the power that's in prayer. Prayer rightly understood, as I've said three times already at least, has force and it has power. If you'll think about prayer throughout your Bible, some instances of prayer throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament even, men delivered nations from their enemies through nothing but the prayers, the power associated with prayer. Men have destroyed armies simply with the power associated with prayer. Men have fed hundreds. Men have fed millions with virtually nothing except the power that's available through prayer. Men have called fire down out of heaven through the power available through prayer. Men have held back the rain for years and then caused it to rain again through nothing but the power of prayer. Men have caused the sun and the moon to stand still by the power of prayer. Now, we're in a different era today. I get that. So don't go out tonight and try to stop the moon and think I'm a failure at prayer because the moon didn't quit moving. All right, we're in a different era. But the point is that they did so through the power that was available in their time through prayer. Men have saved cities from destruction through the power that's found in prayer. Through the power of prayer, or available through prayer, people have received their children who were barren and have seen other children delivered from death. Through the power that was available in prayer. Through the power of prayer, people have healed the sick, raised the dead unto life again, all through the power that's available through prayer. Now please listen, I know tonight that we live in a different economy, a different age as far as the scriptures are concerned. I know we have a completed Bible, and so God doesn't do all those things like he once did. But that doesn't change the power that's available through prayer. Though God works differently with us today, prayer is as powerful as it ever was. Prayer moves God, has force just as much as it ever has, even though God uses it differently in our life than he has in times past. God doesn't raise the dead anymore through the power of a man's prayer or the power available through a man's prayer, but the force hasn't changed. The power hasn't changed. I'm just saying tonight that the power found in prayer is as powerful as it has ever been. And that same power is still available to us in the day and time in which we live. Rightly understood, it's a force. It has power. Power prevails where people are powerless. And it's as powerful as it has ever been. Prayer, you know, power available through prayer to the child of God today has got to be the most powerful, untapped resource of our time. People talk about wind and sun and all these things, ridiculous stuff. That's the untapped resource of our time. I'm telling you, the most powerful, untapped resource of our time is the power that's available to the simple child of God through prayer. The same prayer that raised the dead, the same prayer that held off armies, the same prayer that gave life to the dead, the same power is available to us because the power of prayer hasn't changed in our lifetime or in any other lifetime. Now, here's the warning, though. Listen, everybody still with me? As powerful as prayer is and as much power as can be found through prayer, there's something we need to keep in mind, and this may sound like we're splitting hairs, but we really are not. Here's the warning. We often hear the phrase, the power of prayer, and encouraging statements like all things are possible through prayer and prayer changes things. We hear statements like that constantly. But we have to clarify something important, and that is that it's okay to talk about the power of prayer. It's okay to talk about the fact that prayer changes things or that all things are possible through prayer, though that statement's a misleading. All things aren't possible through prayer if it's not the will of God. But it's okay to talk about the power of prayer as long as we never forget that power does not rest in the act of prayer. And again, I know that may sound like we're splitting hairs, but we really are not. Power doesn't rest in the act of prayer itself. Most lost people talk about prayer. Come on, you ever work with any lost people? And they ask you to pray for them? You know, or I've had lost people say, you know, well, I pray all the time, you know, and I've had this thing going on. I'm just praying. You see the silly stuff that shows up on Facebook and different places of people you know aren't living for God and aren't even saved, and they're talking about prayer. And they're serious in so much as they understand it. But for them, it's the act of praying that they have faith in and that they have hope in. They think that by voicing their fears, if I just speak my fears out loud, if I just talk about my need out loud, if I just kneel down or whatever it may be and just kind of talk about my needs, then that will work. And they feel better for a moment or two because they've kind of talked about their needs, or they've kind of thrown their needs up into the air or out into space or wherever it goes to, and they've kind of talked about that. And so they think that that's prayer. And their faith, listen, they're not praying to God because they don't even know Him. Their faith is in the act of prayer. I've said this need out loud. Therefore, I'm hoping things will get better. But we got to be careful, because even those of us who know the Lord and even those of us who know better, if we're not careful, our faith and hope can come to be in the act of praying rather than where our faith should be. You know, we can come and put our faith in the act of kneeling and voicing our needs. We can think, well, sometimes I need to pray. And we'll get down on our knees and we'll just kind of start talking about our needs. And sometimes our faith is in the act of what we're doing. Does that make sense at all? And we kind of pray sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we can kind of pray like a lucky charm. You know, well, this is just terrible. I just need to pray. And we get down on our knees and we begin to pray. And if we're not careful, we're kind of voicing our needs and voicing what's going on in our life. And really sometimes what we're doing is, have you ever had a need that's so bad you just got to talk about it? And so sometimes we get down on our knees and we're just talking about our needs. But there's no conscious idea of trying to tap into the power of God to meet this need through prayer. We're simply voicing our needs, voicing those things that scare us, those things that we're afraid of. And it's very easy to come to the point where our faith is in the act of prayer itself rather than in where it should be. Prayer only has power. You understand this tonight, that prayer only has power in that by the way of prayer, we're conversing with the God of all power. Right. It's not the act of prayer. Prayer is simply the avenue through which we contact the God of all prayer. It's not kneeling down on your knees and sending your needs out into space that has power. It's prayer that contacts or is working to have a conversation with the God of all power. That's where power rests, not in the act itself. The act of prayer has no power unless we're having a real conversation with the God, with our God, about our needs. In John 14, turn over there if you will. The act of prayer itself has no power unless we're talking to the God of all power and are conscious of the fact that we're talking about all prayer. This is where we get into trouble with mindless prayer. We're not really praying. We're supposed to pray. So we get on our knees and we got these mindless words going out. We have no concept of the fact that the power only rests in conversing with the God of all power. Amen. And it's a small difference, but it's a huge difference. Yes. The act of prayer only has power unless we're having a real conversation with God about our needs. The reason why Jesus says what he does in John 14 and verse 13. Notice what Jesus said. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Then he goes on and says that the Father in heaven may glorify any Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's not the act of prayer that moves, it's God that moves. It's not the act of prayer that does anything, it's God that does it. And so when I kneel down to take my needs before God, if I need power for some problem in my life, Brother Daniel, I've got to be conscious of the fact that it's not my kneeling here. It's not getting up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and getting on my knees and talking about my problems that has power. It's when I connect and converse with the God of all power. And God says when we do that, I will answer. I will supply your need. I will meet your need. It's not kneeling that does it. It's God that does it. Amen. Kneeling is just the avenue through which I get a hold of him. And when we pray for our needs and we're seeking the power of God, we've got to be conscious of the fact that, yes, I'm kneeling here, but this is not where the power is. Amen. The power is only available when kneeling here I get a hold of Almighty God. That's where the power rests. And of course, I know that all of you, every time you kneel, you're sincere to the bottom of your heart and you're connecting with God. That was sarcasm. Because it's not always that way with us, is it? Amen. We've got to be conscious of the fact that, yeah, it's important that we set our clock and get up and pray. It's important that we do that. But we can never come to trusting. We can never come to trust in the fact that I set my clock and I got up and I'm kneeling here. We've got to understand that that is just how I get to the power who is Almighty God. I have to converse with Him. And if we're not conversing, we're not finding power. It's not the act of asking and seeking and knocking that has power. The power rests in the one whom we're seeking from. The power rests in the one we're asking. The power rests in the one we're knocking, trying to get an audience with. That's where the power rests, not in the act itself. We've got to be careful never to put our faith in the act of prayer, but the one we converse with through prayer. That's where the power rests. And otherwise, if we're not conscious of that, and if we're not careful with that, we're not much better off than the idolaters who kneel down before a hunk of molten metal or kneel down before a carved tree or a piece of carved stone. They're just sending out their prayers to a dead god and to a hunk of rock or a piece of wood. We're not much better off. We're just kneeling down, just throwing out our needs without much thought of to whom it is we're speaking. When we put our hope in the act of prayer, we're not much better. Look over in Matthew 6. We're not much better than this group that Jesus spoke to in Matthew chapter 6. When we put our hope in the act of prayer, it's not much different than what Jesus warns us of concerning the Pharisees. You'll recognize this immediately. I wish I was in Matthew 6, but I'm in Mark 6. Matthew 6 and verse 7, it says this. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. Now notice what it says. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Their faith isn't in the God of all power. Their faith is in the act of prayer. They think because I say it over and over again, because I pray three times a day, or because I knelt down and prayed and voiced my needs, therefore everything's going to be okay. Jesus says, that's not prayer. That's faith in the act of prayer. They thought they would be heard for their much speaking. And so sometimes we can be the same way. We think that things are going to be okay because I knelt down today and voiced my needs. Because I got on my face today and voiced my needs. Therefore, I know I will be heard and I know things will work out. No, it won't work out unless we're conversing with God, the God of all power. Because He is where the power lies. Not in the act of prayer itself. Now, I'm not diminishing the act of prayer. You understand that, don't you? Prayer is how we get to God to converse with Him. But that's not where the power is. The power rests with Him. Getting on our knees and speaking our needs out loud over and over and thinking that somehow we'll have power to meet them, that's faith in the act of prayer, not in the power of prayer. Now listen, the power of prayer is not getting up early and speaking our needs. It's not speaking our needs out loud three times a day. It's not kneeling or lying on our face and speaking our needs. Power or prayer has power in that we're conversing with the God of all power. And we're telling Him about our troubles. And we're conversing with God about our needs. And we have the faith to believe that if He hears us, that He has the power necessary to meet those needs. That is conversing. And that's dealing with God concerning the act of prayer. We believe that He has the power to act. We've always got to remember that power rests in God. Prayer is just the avenue to reach Him. When I'm kneeling there, I've got to be conscious of the fact that God has the power. And I need God to intervene and move on my behalf. And as important as it is to go through the act of prayer, it's not kneeling that's going to get it done. It's God that's going to get it done because He has the power. So we've got to remember that it's not our act of prayer that does it. It's God that moves. Now notice this also in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, he says this much. He says in 5:16, he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. It has power. It has force. It has strength because we're connecting through conversation with the God of all power. He says, not only does it avail, does it have power, it has strength, but he says, it availeth much. I like power. I like much power. Now, you know, I've read that verse. I was thinking about this week. I have no idea how many times I've read this verse. Brother Sam, I have no idea. Brother Nelson, how many times I've quoted this verse or mentioned this verse in a sermon. And you know that this week, and maybe it's just me, but for the very first time in my life as I read this verse, I came upon this question. How much is much? It says he avails much. It has much power. And I've always just read that and thought, well, praise God, man, much power in prayer. First time ever dawned on me about how much is much. I mean, is it a truckload full? Is it a semi-load full? Pocket full? I hope not. How much power is it that's available to us through prayer? Prayer is powerful. It moves God. It's, I think, personally, the greatest force on the planet for us as a simple child of God. It moves the hand of Almighty God in accordance with His will. So how much power is available through prayer? Well, according to Paul, much. That doesn't tell us a great deal, does it? You know, I've read and quoted this verse, as I said, but it just never dawned on me. But regardless of that, the word is kind of relative. The word much is kind of a comparative word or a relative word. In other words, 100 isn't much compared to 1,000,000. But 100 is much compared to 10. So it's kind of relative, kind of comparative, kind of hard to define how much is much. But then as I got to thinking about that, God kind of led me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And though Paul's not talking about prayer in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I think God kind of gives us an idea of what much is in connection with God. You realize when you serve an all-powerful God, upon whom there is no limits, much can be a lot. But I also know this, please listen, that all of God's power is not available to me, because not everything is in His will. So how much is much? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says this in verse 15. He's talking about manna and God's supply in the Old Testament. Nothing to do with prayer, but much, I think, is what's important here. In 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 15, it says this, as it is written, he that gathereth how much? Much, had nothing left over. And he that gathered little had no lack. Based on that verse, how much is much? Enough. It's enough. Much for me may be more than much for Brother Piper. Brother Kirby may need more power today than I need. How much is much? It's enough. Hey, and isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? How much power is available to us as the simple child of God? How much power is available to us through prayer? Enough. Enough. How much? Always enough. Always enough. How much prayer can we find by conversing with God in prayer? As much power as you need at any given time. As much power as you need on any given day. As much power as you need in any given circumstance. As much power as you need to make any given decision. As much power as you need to get through any given trial. There's always enough. I like that because if there's always enough, there's never a day when there's not. It never runs out. I always know that when I kneel in prayer and I converse with God and I connect with the all-powerful God to whom nothing is impossible, there's always going to be enough power available to me through prayer if I'll seek it. Amen. On any given trial, any given day. I don't need as much on some days as I need on others. Some days, come on, let's be honest, because of our flesh, some days in this old life, we think, boy, I hope God's got enough because I'm going to need a bucket load today. And there are some days you think, didn't need that much. Got through it. We always need some. Come on, say amen. That's why we need to pray every day. But Paul says power has force, it has strength, it has power. Matter of fact, Paul says it has much. Enough for you and all you'll ever need. If we seek it through prayer. Seek God's power. Seek God's help. Seek God's strength. We'll always have all that we need if we seek it. The problem is we don't seek it. I think we'd be amazed at what God could do through the power of prayer if we would just seek it. This is kind of what comes to, where it comes to our theme this year and what God kind of laid on my heart. We talk about conversing with God because we've been hammering away that the idea that prayer is conversing with God. And our theme again is conversing with God, discovering the power of effectual fervent prayer. One of the reasons we wrestled, I gave birth to these banners. I just want you to appreciate that. Because I went around and around and around with the banner company. If you don't like them, I don't want to hear about it. We went around and around because I could not get my vision across to this lady. And bless her heart, I understand it's hard to get into the mind of somebody else. I get that. And so I was hammering away at that because my folks, I kept saying, the first banner I ordered, first time she sent us a banner, it was a guy wearing a beanie standing in a wheat field with his hands up in the air. And I said, well, I ain't going to work. And so we sent that back. It's not hands in the air bothering me, it was the beanie. But at any rate, he was praying. I said, well, that's not going to work. And so I sent it back and said, we're way off target on this one. I said, that's not who we are. Nothing wrong with raising your hands, but that doesn't reflect who we are. So I said, that's not going to work. So I sent a detailed email back, capitalized words, underlined words, because I wanted to get across, I said, I want to get across this year, this idea of discovery. Not just praying, because we could preach on praying, but I want to see what God can do. I'm not talking about some charismatic thing. I want to see what God can do if we could get a hold of the idea of the amazing power that's available to us within the framework of God's will if we will seek it. And if we will expect God and ask God to do things through prayer. We've got some things I want to see. I've already told you one of those. I'm praying this year that God will let us at least average 150, which means that'll bump us up to 160, 170. On high days. And you say, well, I think one asked for 200. Have at it, man. I hope God answers yours and not mine. But we've got to start someplace and ask for something. Wouldn't it be good if we prayed and said, God, give us 150 this year. Help us average 150. And at the end of this year, we could look back and say, praise God, look what God did. In a time in a church where we got people coming and going all the time because of the military, in a culture where we're swimming against the current because of who we are and what we are, wouldn't it be amazing to see God do that? In lowly Knob Noster, Missouri. Wouldn't it be something to see that happen if God could do it? You say, what if we get 149? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? What if God gives us 200? We'll say, God did exceedingly above what we asked or thought. But we've got to ask something and see if God will do it. And there's some other things that we want to see. But I really believe that if we'll get in our minds that we must pray, if we can throw off the sin of prayerlessness, and believe that there is power in prayer and seek the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance. And if we'll kneel down and understand that this is not where the power is with God. And I'm going to converse with God and we're going to present our needs to Him. And I believe God's got enough power to do what we ask in accordance with His will. Amen. I want to see what God can do. I was having a good time when I was gone for that week. I was sick as a dog the entire week, but I was having a good time anyway. I was thinking, I got to get back so we can get these messages started. Should have phoned one in. Because I want to see what God will do this year. And I don't know what He'll do. Because this all has to mix with His will. But I knew this much, we have not because we ask not. I think we could say not change in the Bible, we have not because sometimes we don't expect. I'd love this time next year to look back and say, man alive, what God has done. Not through a new program or a new visitation program or some new other program, but just through prayer. I want to be able to look back and say, man, those 3 days of prayer we got scheduled throughout the year, there's no doubt in our mind that had an impact on our church this year because of what God has done. I want to discover what He can do and see what He can do. I know God answers prayer, say amen. But I want to discover what God can do in Calvary Baptist Church through nothing but the power of prayer. According to His will. I want to put Him to the test in the right way. And say, okay, God, we're going to ask and we're going to seek and we're going to knock. And we understand that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through you. And then see what God can do so that we can give Him glory when it's all over. So Paul says there's power, effect, force in prayer. All we will ever need and all you and I need on any given day and all Calvary Baptist Church needs on any given day is available through prayer. With me? Now let's notice this. We'll wrap this up. Not only do we see the power of prayer in verse 16, but we also see the person of prayer in verse 16. Paul brings up not only the power available through prayer, but he also brings up the person of prayer. Remember what we said 50 times already tonight, that prayer is conversing with God. It's having a conversation with Almighty God, with the Holy One of Israel, with our Father in heaven. It's having a conversation with Him. Now, because of that, the words that we speak are important. You understand, words are important to a conversation. Kind of hard to have a conversation without words. And so they're important. The words that we speak in prayer are certainly important. Through them, we express our needs. Through them, we express our wants. Through them, we express our praise. Through them, we ask for 150. Through our words, we ask for things and pursue things and seek things. But since prayer is a conversation, it's not just the words that matter. Because in a conversation, the person speaking impacts the words. The kind of person speaking impacts the words that are being spoken. If you have a conversation with two people, and both of those people say the exact same thing, the person speaking those words, in both cases, are going to impact how you receive those words. Does that make sense? Come on. Conversation is affected by the person speaking the words. How much we trust what's being said has to do with who's saying it. Some people, we think, you know, we couldn't believe them no matter what they told us. That affects our conversation. Some people would say, well, that guy's honest. He'd never lie. That affects how we perceive his words. Because in conversation, it's not just the words. It also has to do with who's talking, the two people who are talking to one another. Now, we know there's no problem with God. Say amen. No problem with him on the side of the conversation. It's us that's the problem, or can be the problem. So with that in mind, the same thing's true when it comes to conversing with God. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, he gives us three characteristics of a person who experiences the power of God through prayer. Three characteristics of a person who experiences or taps into this power that's available through God through God in prayer. First, he says this, that the person who converses with God and finds that power that we need, that's always enough, he says, converses with God effectually. Effectually. Where we get the idea of discovering the power of effectual prayer. Effectually. The word from which we get the word, or the Greek word from which we get the word effectually, is energeo, which means not important whatsoever, other than the fact that it means, it's the same word from which we get the word energy. Energeo, energy, is where we get the English word energy. He says the person who finds power with God, discovers what God can do through prayer, is the person who prays with energy. We might use the word passion. It means something that has energy or power to have an effect. The power to accomplish something. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. The same word shows up in Philippians 2 as another English word. Philippians 2. If you want to know how much energy, or what this word energy means, in Philippians 2 verse 13, it shows up as the word worketh. In verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's energy. God's energy is at work in your life to do his will and to accomplish his will in your life. It's his energy. It's his passion to see his will done in your life. Go from there, if you will, over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, we see it again. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. It shows up down in verse 20, but in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. It says, and what the riches of the glorious of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Shows up here is the word, according to the working, the energy, the passion of God's power, which he wrought, same word again, energy, passion, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The energy of God, the passion of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same word that shows up as the word we're looking at over in the book of James when it comes to this idea of effectually. His power caused these effects, it says. Now, a person who converses with God in prayer and is able to experience the power of God to accomplish much as they need it is the person who prays with faith to believe that prayer has an effect. When we talk about praying with energy, we're not talking about screaming, right? We're not talking about weeping. We're not talking, although there's nothing wrong with that, we're not talking about praying passionately. It's not what we're talking about. It's the idea of praying with energy in the sense that I'm here on my knees, Brother Daniel, and I'm seeking the power of God because I know that's where His power rests, and I need some of that much today in my life, and I'm praying because I believe that it will have an effect. I believe that this prayer has energy, that it affects my life. You've got to pray with the passion, with the energy, not shouting at the top of your lungs, but with the energy and the passion that comes forth from a person who believes that what I'm doing has an effect.
Amen. That's right.
That I can indeed find the much that I need today in my life. That's effectively praying. I know we use the word effectively in another way as well, but in this case, it means this idea of energy. It's not a last resort. It's the only means of effectively seeking however much power I need today. We have to be a people who have energy in our prayer. Energy that comes from the confidence that my prayers are going to have an effect because I'm conversing with the God of heaven.
Amen.
And I know that this is not the last resort. This is the first resort.
Amen.
Because this is where the power is available at. And I believe that what I'm doing here on my knees at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning or 11 at night or in the middle of the night has an effect. Because God promised that if we sought it, He has much power.
Amen.
And all that I need at any one time. With me?
Amen.
You know who God wants to talk to? Effectual people. He wants to talk to people who believe that talking to them has an effect. You don't want to be that guy that I've talked about before, and it's an old story about the guy who the preacher talked about praying that God would move and work. There's great power with God. And had a big rock in his yard he wanted to get rid of, so he went home, closed the curtain, started praying, God, please remove this rock. Got up, slung the curtains open, said, see, I knew it'd still be there. You don't want to be that person. You want to believe that has an effect. You know, if we could get that, it might help our focus. If we believe that what I'm doing has an effect. Who does God want to hear from? Effective, effectual prayers. People pray with some energy, some passion, because they believe this has an effect. Has an effect on my family, on my marriage, on my life, on my needs. Because here's where I find the much power that I need. Secondly, and this is very closely related to the first one, but secondly, the person who experiences the power of God through conversing with Him needs to pray fervently. Fervently. It says the effect of fervency. There needs to again be passion in our conversation, passion in our prayer. By fervency or passion, I don't mean weeping or enthusiasm. I don't mean carrying on like some crazy charismatic. I don't mean that kind of enthusiasm. That's not what we're talking about. By fervency or passion, I don't mean any of those things. Fervency or passion is only possible by a prayer of faith. Look what James says in James 1:15. It says, and the prayer of faith saveth the sick. Now we'll talk about that, what that means in a later message. But fervency effectually is praying with the idea that this has an effect. Fervency is praying with the belief that it matters, that God will move, that God will act, that God will do something. Fervency makes it effectual. It matters because God will move. You can't have passion and prayer without faith. You want to know why we have struggles praying many times? I know part of it's our flesh, or we were up late last night or whatever, but one of the reasons why we struggle and have trouble staying focused is because we don't have passion when we pray. And the only way you can ever have passion in prayer is not through weeping, it's through believing that God is going to move. He may say no, but He moved. He may say yes, but He moved. God may not show up until the last moment, but He moved. And I believe it was connected to my prayer. We've got to pray with fervency, the belief that God will do what he said. You ask, what did Jesus say? And I will answer. And if you can get a hold of that, come on, brother, that'll put fervency in your prayer. When you can get down on your knees and believe that what I'm doing has an effect, because prayer has power. And I believe, Brother Chad, that God will move. That'll light you up when it comes to prayer. That'll mean that what you're doing at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning or whenever you're praying, it'll make you understand this is probably the most important thing I will do all day. Because it has an effect. And I believe fervently that God will move if I pray. Look over in Ephesians 3 if you would. We're almost finished. Ephesians 3. Not too much longer. Unless you want me to preach the message from this morning, I've still got that. We could knock that one out too. While we're here, you'll be fervently wishing we were home here in a minute. How can you fervently pray? How can you have passion in prayer without faith to truly believe that it matters, because God will give his power to us as we need it if we seek it? In Ephesians 3 and verse 12, again, we're just using portions of verses that we're going to pick up later, but in verse 12, Chapter 3, in whom we have boldness and accident and access with what? Confidence. How? By faith. Faith is the belief that God will keep his word. When Jesus said, if you ask, seek, and knock, I will respond. It's the belief that he will do so because he said so. That's confidence, fervency. Look over in 1 John 5, little John, 1 John 5. verse 14. This is fervency. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, come on, what's the next couple words? Come on, what is it? Anything. If we ask anything, now I've lost my place. I was on a roll too. This is a confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Come on, is that the promise of God? Then by faith I kneel down and in fervency I pray. God, you said that if I ask according to your will, you will hear me. So what I'm doing right now has an effect. Because I'm conversing with him. And the great thing about conversing with him is the promise that he's hearing. You ever talk to somebody that's not listening?
Yes.
Come on, ladies. You ever talk to somebody that's not listening? You ever talk to somebody that while you're talking to them, they're looking for somebody more important? Yes. Isn't it amazing that God, when you talk to him, never looks for anybody more important? Yes. He says, I'll hear you when you ask. That ought to fire you up. If you pray, I will hear. Verse 14, this is confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, if you have the faith to believe that he'll keep his word and hear you, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. He says, if you can have the faith to believe me, that if you ask, I'll hear you, then you know your petitions have been heard, and I will answer them in accordance with my will. That's what it means to pray fervently. Effectively, I know that what I'm doing has an effect. Probably the most important thing I'll do today. Fervency, believing that if God hears me, he will move. To that, James says, that availeth much. But there's one more, isn't there? We're done. One more. Thirdly, the prayer that connects with God is a conversation between God and a person whose prayer is effective, that it matters, whose prayer is fervent, that God will move. But since prayer is a conversation, and the people in the conversation affect how words are heard, then Jesus says this: if I want to see power, I must strive to be a righteous person. Because in a conversation, character matters. Character matters. I've got to believe that prayer has an effect. I've got to believe that if I pray, He will move. But my character impacts my prayer and affects my prayer. Therefore, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In John 9, John chapter 9. In verse 31. It says, Now we know that God heareth not sinners. He says, not the end of the verse, but the first part. This is not Jesus speaking this, but it's still true. God heareth not sinners. God doesn't hear people who are continually missing the mark in their life. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Character makes a difference to prayer. It does with you.
Yes.
Come on, when people talk to you, don't tell me the character of the person conversing with you doesn't impact how you hear their words,
yep.
How you evaluate their words, and how you respond to their words. Character matters in a conversation. The same thing is true when it comes to Christ. First, we have to converse with God. If we're going to see His power in our life, we have to be positionally righteous. You got to be saved. Amen? You're not conversing with God if you're not saved, unless it's about your need for salvation. God doesn't answer, generally speaking, the prayers of lost people. If we're sinners, unsaved, how can we expect to be heard of God? You can't reject His Son and think God's going to answer your prayer at the same time. It doesn't work that way. We have to be positionally righteous. And on a Sunday night, I think we would understand that. You got to be saved. But if we want to experience His power through prayer, then once saved, we've got to strive to live practical righteousness. We've got to be practically righteous. We've got to strive to live the righteous life. Look over in Psalm 66. Three verses here and we're done. Psalm 66. Because your character when you're conversing with God matters. Aren't you glad God is gracious and merciful? Because if I was God, when some people talk to me, and kids don't repeat this, but I just say, just shut up. Just be quiet. I don't even want to hear that. You won't get saved. You won't go to church. You won't do right. And now you're wanting to converse with me? That's how you do it. Oh, come on, amen. That's how you do it. We do it sometimes to people who don't live a righteous life. And sometimes, and that's pretty harsh, I guess, but sometimes people come to you and they say, oh, listen, I've prayed about this and I think this is what God wants us to do. You think, well, I think one of the things God wants you to do is come to church on a regular basis. I think one of the things God wants you to do is get the sin out of your life. Stop watching that garbage and go in here. Quit hanging out at the club. And do right. If you want to know what Jesus would do, that's what He'd do. And then He'll come to you and say, well, I've been really praying. Character matters. Maybe that should be our new response. Just go, character matters. And they say, what's that mean? Glad you asked. Just remember, you asked. Character matters. I don't mean to be trivial about it, but it's insulting to God when we're in the midst of unconfessed unrighteousness and we come to God and want to converse with Him, the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 66, look what it says in verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, this verse is very hard to understand. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what?
Hear me.
The Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of who? The righteous." A couple chapters over to 28. I said 3 minutes ago, but I do have one more. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law." Isn't this an interesting verse? "He that turneth his ear away from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." You know what God is saying? If you won't listen to me, I won't listen to you. One more, last verse, Isaiah 1. Verse 15, it says, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." You're in the midst of unrighteousness. Later on in Isaiah 55, I believe it is where he tells them, he says, "You pray, but I will not hear. My hand's not shortened that it cannot act." He says, "My ears aren't heavy that I cannot hear." He says, "It's your sin. That's the reason I'm not moving. That's the reason I'm not acting." And when you hear people sometimes say, "Well, I prayed, and God's just not doing anything, so I'm going to have to do that," it might be time for us to step back and say, maybe it's me. You know, if we want to experience the power of God in the midst of our needs and circumstances and trials and times of loss, we've got to live righteously before Him. And you and I are not in the place, listen, we're not in the place to pray for a serious decision, for serious direction, for serious need, if we're harboring sin in our heart, or we're harboring some unrighteousness in our life. It doesn't have to be some big thing, does it? There's something that God is dealing with us about. You and I shouldn't wonder why we suffer need, or why we're suffering a problem, or why God doesn't seem to be moving. If every time we take that need to Him, God says, "Well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but what about this right here? What about this thing I keep talking to you about that you won't do anything about? You want me to listen, but I'm speaking to you over and over about this thing right here. And God says, until you deal with that, I will not hear. My ear isn't heavy. I haven't gone deaf. My arm hasn't gotten less powerful." God says, "But we can't go any further until you deal with this right here." The effectual, the man who believes that prayer has an effect, that this time right now is probably the most important time of my entire day, because I'm praying with fervency, the faith to believe that God will move, and that there is enough power to meet whatever need I have today, God will move. And when we pray in righteousness, dealing with the sin in our life, God will move. And if we can accomplish that, I think we could discover what God could do. Are we going to get everybody on board? I've been doing this far too long to believe that. But I'd love to see everybody on board. But you know what? I think if we could get 10% to say, "I'm going to make the theme this year my theme in my life," I think God would do some amazing things. Amen. I really do. I think He'd do some amazing things in our church. I think He might just do some amazing things in our life and in our families. Maybe we'd see some of those people we've been wanting to see saved. Maybe we see some growth in our church. Maybe our marriages will be stronger at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year because of what God's done in our life through prayer. Wouldn't that be something? But it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that has enough power on any given day, in any given circumstance, through any given trial, to meet our needs. It's important what we pray, but it's also important who we are. Amen? Power of prayer is an amazing thing, isn't it? Most untapped resource of our time. You know, our theme this year, like I said, it got laid on my heart, and I don't have any doubt that He did it. It's clearer probably than anything we've had over the last couple of years. Conversing with God, discovering the power of effectual, fervent prayer. And there's no power, as I've said, in the act of prayer. We ought never put our faith in speaking our needs in a kneeling position. We need this year to always remember that prayer is in conversation with Him, the God of all power, and just see and discover what He'll do. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would.